God. Hebrews chapter 1.
As you've already seen, what an exciting book this is. It exalts our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw there in those first 9 verses the emphasis on His deity, His power as our Creator. And as we saw last week, the Bible says, "Unto the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." We see the Lord Jesus Christ being exalted there as God the Father. And again, how we were reminded that He is everything. But that theme continues tonight here, starting in verse 10. The Bible says, "And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said He at any time, Sit on My right hand until I make Thine enemies Thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So I've entitled the message, "Thou Remainest." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love You. We thank You for the privilege to open Your Word this evening. Use it in our lives and teach us and grow us and just speak to us individually in a powerful and personal way. May Jesus be magnified, and we love You and ask this in His name. Amen. So as we see, just a continuation of this theme of exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see a lot of that in this book. Remember, the primary word is the word priest, because Hebrews introduces Jesus Christ as our great high priest. And we're seeing Him introduced in this first chapter by the author as our God. And as we saw earlier, as our Creator, we see there in verse 10, He laid the foundation of the earth. The Bible says in John chapter 1, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. In John chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus is our Creator. And God is reminding us here that the Creator is going to recreate. Notice He says in verse 11, "They shall perish." He's talking here about what? The heavens and the earth. He's telling us that He's going to redo them. That they will, as we were told in the Old Testament, they will be burnt up. We can go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and see that. Just over to the right a couple of books. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Where the Bible tells us, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Verse 12. "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." So remember, God promised way back after the flood He would never flood the earth again, but the next time He's going to redo it with fire. He's going to burn it all up and make a new one. And if you go to Revelation 21, the Bible mentions this new one. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Bible says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Now, this is something we know very little about in Scripture. We know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, but the Bible just doesn't tell us much about it. We know about the new Jerusalem, but we don't know a lot about the new heaven and the new earth. But you know what? It'll be great. And we'll be there. And that's what matters. The Bible says there in the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. So the Bible says God's going to redo it all. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the Creator, is also the recreator who's going to redo it. And he reminds us there in verse 11 of Hebrews 1, he says, "But Thou remainest." Talking about Jesus Christ. Yes, He's going to burn up the heavens and the earth, but Jesus, of course, remains. Jesus Christ is eternal. And by eternal, I mean in both directions. Go to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and we'll see this. Jesus never had a beginning because Jesus is God. And Jesus will have no end because Jesus is God. You know, it's one thing for us to understand that we have eternal life, which means once we were created, we get to live forever, but we had a starting point. Jesus Christ never did. And again, that's a hard thing to explain to a child, but it's what the Bible tells us. Look at Micah chapter 5, look at verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." So that's talking about Jesus, clearly, and it says he has been from everlasting. It means he's always been. And of course we know he always will be, as we're told in the scriptures. So Jesus Christ, despite the earth and the heavens being burnt up and recreated, will always be. And the Bible says, if you go back to our passage in verse 12, "And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up," again talking about the heavens and the earth, "and he said, and they shall be changed," obviously if they're new, "but thou art the same." This is Jesus. Jesus is unchanging. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." Jesus Christ never changes because Jesus is God. When Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, most of us know what he said, baptizing them after you go into all the world and so forth. But the next verse says, "And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." That's Jesus saying, "I will always be with you. Even after the world ends, which it will, I'll still be with you. And we'll still be with him." Because Jesus Christ is not only the creator and the recreator, but he's eternal in both directions. And he is unchanging. So the heavens and the earth will be re-burnt up and remade. But you know, we last forever. When you think about that, God's going to burn this whole earth up, and as it says, everything in it. He's going to burn up the heavens, but we get to live forever. Aren't we blessed? We get to live forever. And as the Bible says, if you go to Revelation 22, not only do we get to be with Jesus Christ forever, but we get to reign with Jesus Christ forever. Revelation 22, look at verse 5, if you would. Revelation 22, 5. The Bible says here that there shall be no night there, they need no candle, and neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for how long? Ever and ever. Wow. We deserved hell, and God gave us heaven. That would be enough. But the Bible says we get to reign with him forever and ever. Now, a lot of people picture the future as just sitting around, just taking it easy. But we're going to be busy. The kingdom especially, reigning with Jesus Christ over all of those unsaved ratbag humans. And then, don't ask me how it's all going to work, but even with the new heaven and the new earth, we continue to reign with him. So we'll be busy. But in the midst of all of that, there's this verse in verse 14 that's a kind of a standalone verse, so let's look at it tonight, about angels. Because he told us there in verse 13, the Jesus Christ who never changes, who is going to burn it all up and start over, who is our creator and recreator, and as we saw earlier, who is God, who is King, who is unchanging, the Bible says that even now, while we're here on this wicked earth, he has given his angels orders to watch over us. Think about that. The angels are greater and more powerful than we are. You know, we see in the Old Testament where one angel killed over 200,000 people in one night. And yet, the Bible says, verse 13, "But to which of the angels said at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool?" Of course, this is exalting Jesus, sitting on the right hand until all the enemies are his footstool. But then he says, are they, who's he referring to, those angels of verse 13? "They are not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for who? Them who shall be heirs of salvation." That's us. I think we had a testimony Sunday night. It's so true. We're going to get to heaven. We're going to be shocked. How many times God protected us when we could have died in a car accident or whatever. A lot of them we probably don't even know about. And I'm sure God will reveal them to us someday. And the angels have a part in that. Now, we can't see them with our human eyes, but they are real. And, you know, in the Old Testament, they did manifest themselves often as men. But God says that they actually minister to us. That's fascinating to think about. Did you notice in verse 7, which we looked at last week, it says, "And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire." Talking again about the angels, this here points out how powerful they are. They're referred to as beings who are a flame of fire. Also, if you go into chapter 12, the Bible tells us how many there are. It gives us an exact count. Here in verse 22. It says, "Ye are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." There's the exact number, innumerable. In other words, we don't even know. Can't even be numbered. There's so many of them. Because people often say, how could the ministers minister? How could they minister to us now that there's 7 billion humans? And, well, how many angels are there? We don't know. It's innumerable. We do know that they're ministering spirits. Look in chapter 13. This is an interesting passage, which we'll study later. Look at verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. This is in the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, we find angels appearing often to men, right? And every time they did, they didn't show up with wings or halos around their heads. They looked like men. And the only reason people would know often that they were angels is because either they were sent with a message from God or they would work some sort of a miracle. Like, remember with Samuel's parents, when they burnt up the sacrifice. This is another one of those verses. Think about what it's saying. Be careful to entertain strangers, because some people have entertained angels without realizing it, unawares. These are the ministering spirits that God hath sent forth to minister to us. Jesus Christ sends them to watch out for us. Fascinating. Look at Psalm 34. We'll look at another verse on this. In verse 7. That the Jesus Christ of the book of Hebrews, of the Bible, of the universe, who's everything and can do anything, who created the angels, one of their missions is to minister to us. Look at Psalm 34, verse 7. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." I wonder how many times we've been delivered without even knowing it. Remember when Daniel prayed and it didn't seem like God was going to answer, and then finally Michael came and he said, "I'm here," Gabriel, and he said, "It took me a while to get here because I've had to fight with the devil to get here." A lot goes on that we don't see with our human eyes. And one of the things that goes on is the angels watching over us and ministering to us. Look at Matthew 18, where the Bible teaches that children have their own angel. How about that? Every now and then the Catholics get something right. This will be one of them. Notice it says, Matthew 18:10, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones." And he's talking about children. If you look at the context, he says, "For I say unto you that in heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven." Whose angels? The little ones. Their angels. I mean, here we're puny, sinful humans, and God assigns angels to watch out for us. It's just amazing when you think about it. And if you go to Luke 16, remember when the Bible talks about the beggar who went to paradise or Abraham's bosom? I want you to see who took him there. Luke 16. The Bible says, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So here we see that when the beggar died, remember we studied this story a few Sundays ago, he went to Abraham's bosom. Of course, the rich man went to a place of torment. But the Bible says it was angels that carried his soul. His body obviously stayed behind. They carried his soul to Abraham's bosom. And so we won't understand it all till we get to heaven. But Jesus Christ even assigns his angels to minister to us, which is quite fascinating. So praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we see, never changes and never ends. He says, thou remainest. He's always been. He always will be. And you know what's exciting? He's on our side. Amen? If God be for us, who can be against us? Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can go forward in this wicked, sinful world knowing that Jesus is on our side, that he indwells us, but also that he even assigns angels to watch out for us. How blessed are we? Jesus Christ, he remains, and he is our Savior, our God, our everything. How blessed are we? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.